Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 11 through 16. For thus says the Lord God, Behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep. And I will rescue them from all the places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries. And I will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the ravines, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture. And on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land. And on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be their shepherd, will be the shepherd of my sheep. And I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed. And I will bind up the injured. And I will strengthen the weak. And the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for all of these words of hope and encouragement. Lord, we are all lost and in need of a shepherd, a savior, to retrieve us and return us to the flock on the day your son returns to us. But Lord, if that day is not today, Lord, we place it all in your hands and ask that you would continue to guide us with your grace, that we may be ready for your coming, and that we may be able to recognize your voice when you call to us, when you tell us it's time to come home. Until that day, Lord, I pray we continue to spread the promise of your love to those in need, that we are in lockstep with your will, and our hearts are dispatched to perform that which you have commissioned. Lord, we also ask that you continue to lift up our brother, Pastor John, as he prepares to expound on the message that you've placed before him this week. Lord, clear this place from distraction and help him to focus. Lord, may you use this man mightily and guide his thoughts, that your word would have a permanent effect on those here today. But Lord, don't let it stall here. Let it resonate through all of us, that when we leave this place, we be a reflection of that light. Lord, use us all, that your people may be drawn closer to you in preparation for that day. Lord, we pray that you would be here with us today as we celebrate you, your Son, and your kingdom. Lord, we love you and ask these things through your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Tom, very much. Okay, so Noah's Ark, and I know hours late. I want to thank you for, there's a lot going on in the life of our church right now, and there's an awful lot to be thankful for, and it's bubbling and effervescing. This is a short word today. It really is not a complicated word, so I think I can give it shortly and uncomplicatedly. But I just said uncomplicatedly, so it's over. Forget. Noah's Ark was not really Noah's Ark. It was God's Ark. Why do I say that? Because it was God who commissioned that it be built. It was his idea. God designed it. He funded it. He filled it. It was by his hand that he closed it up and kept it afloat. And God loved, why did he do that? Well, God loved Noah and his family. And he was interested. He was certain that he wanted to see Noah's family preserved from the coming flood that was going to destroy the whole world. But for Noah, and for Ham, Shem, and Japheth, his sons, and their wives, the whole family, the ark was only their preservation. It was not their salvation. We know that. If you look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, which I had, I think I had put up there, This is talking about Noah. It says, by faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Note what that passage does not say. Okay, now, what this says is that Noah did a few things to preserve his life. He listened to God. He got up off his tuchus there and built that ark. Okay, he got up, he worked, he was industrious, and Noah was reverent and feared God. Now, because he listened to God, because he did the work, and because he honored God and did what he said, his life was preserved, and so was his family. But none of that was his salvation, okay? It preserved his life for a little while. But what it says in here, that for Noah, his salvation came by faith. Salvation for him was being an heir, not to the world, as he found it after this great cataclysmic event of the flood. He was not an heir to everything that was left on earth. He was an heir to righteousness, okay? Salvation is perfection. And that salvation for Noah and for all of us is earned by faith. And this faith is personal. It goes to the very core of our being. And if you want to talk about faith, the type of faith that saves, you've got to understand it's only something that can be assessed and known by God and God alone. There's no EKG, no MRI, no ultrasound, no x-ray that's going to reveal it. And there's no tattoo, there's no gold cross, there's no certificate of membership that's going to prove it. And I don't care how nasty a TSA agent you come across, they're not going to find it on you, okay? They're not going to find it. The only way that you can be known to have this faith is if God sees it, if God finds it, and if God acknowledges and assesses it. He's the one that has us enter into the kingdom that is to come. Now, some of you are settling today. The reason I share this passage is some of you in this room are settling today for preservation alone. All you're interested in is preservation. I want to encourage you. I want this passage to encourage you to push on beyond preservation towards salvation. God is still in the business of boat building. His son, Jesus Christ, he didn't build a boat here, but he did build a church. He says, upon this confession that Peter made, that he was the Christ, he's going to build his church, and he has. And many of you have heard that warning, that this is no place to live forever, and that you need to become a believer, and you've joined a church, and you're working. You're aiding in this church. You've joined the fellowship. You're aiding in its construction. You're reverent. You fear God. And for a lot of you, your involvement in this Christian faith and involvement in this church, it's been a preservation for you. It's preserved your marriage. It's preserved your health in some instances. It's preserved your sobriety, your freedom from addiction. It's preserved maybe even your freedom, okay? There's a preservative effect of the church. And that's good. And I think it's great. And I'm so thankful that this country has the church, that this community has the church, that your families have the church. But you've got to move beyond preservation, okay, to salvation. Ezekiel, who's the author of this passage today, he was the prophet of God. He served at a time his prophetic ministry was to an Israel that was in serious decline. The northern country of Israel, kingdom of Israel, was already gone, already conquered and taken away. And now the southern kingdom of Judah, which Ezekiel was a minister to, along with Jeremiah and some other prophets, they were running out of moves on the chessboard, okay? They were getting pinched, and it looked like it was almost over. And this is Ezekiel's time. He's ministering to a people in great decline. God was about to let the ark sink, and he did, okay? What we find in the book in the Old Testament is that this great ark, the nation of Israel, Jerusalem as a city, he allowed that ark, that preservative agent, to sink. And he allowed those people to be shipwrecked all over the known world, to be scattered. Why did he do that? He did that so that he might find them, okay? They were in love with the land. They were in love with the preservative agent. They were not in love with him. He allowed the whole thing to go away, for the people to be blown all over the world, so that he might gather them again to find them. Now, I hope the same thing's not happening today. I fear it is. I fear that, at least for the church in the West, the church in the United States, New England, the ship's going down, okay? It's sinking in many ways. I pray that we would listen, that we would not allow this exile and shipwreck to come, but rather that we would listen. So the challenge is not to New England, the challenge not to the United States of America, it's not to our administration, to our people in government, it's not to the university, anybody else. The challenge is to you people here today, the people who are in the barn, okay? You guys have been gathered into the barn today, you claim Christ, you're here for a reason. The challenge is to you today to move beyond this preservation transactional relationship you have with God to one of salvation, to enjoy what Linda was sharing about, to enjoy what Floyd was talking about, the pursuing God, pursuing holiness, to enjoy that personally. So just a couple of points here. The first I want you to see in this passage is that security, and we're all interested in security. You know, I want my soul to be secure. I want my life to be secure. I want my eternity to be secure. Security is not found in green pastures, but in a good shepherd. Look with me just at verses 11 and 12. It says, "For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness." All right, here's the question I have when I read this. If God is such a good shepherd, why is everybody scattered everywhere? Okay. So what? Clouds and thick darkness? Is that a force or a power too great for God? I thought he was a good shepherd. How is it that all of his sheep have become scattered everywhere? Well, I want you to understand something. You know, some sheep are only interested in green pastures and quiet waters. Sadly. Some sheep are in this business of following the Lord because they want the green pasture and they want the quiet water. But once the Lord has led them there, his services are no longer required. And just as it's foolish to kick out the ladder once you've climbed to a great height somewhere, it was foolish for Israel 400 years before Ezekiel to fire God from leadership in Israel and demand a king. Okay, that was a bad mistake. And when Israel fired God and said, "We don't want you in leadership in our country anymore. We don't want to be ruled by you. We want a king like every other country," this sad future was assured. Because anybody other than God who's guiding you, leading you, who is your source of insight and strength and energy and salvation, anybody else, anything else, any institution else, is going to lead assuredly to exile and to shipwreck. Listen, how would you feel if you invited somebody to dinner and you went to a restaurant somewhere and as soon as the food came, they picked up their food and went to another table? Okay. How would you feel about that? How would you feel if you invited someone to stay in your house and you moved them into your home, you went to work, and when you came back from work, they changed the locks? How would you feel about that? How would you feel if you painted somebody a masterpiece and then they auctioned it off for cash? How would you feel about that? This is what Israel did. They got their meal and they moved on. They were welcomed in and they changed the locks on God. He wanted to paint in them a masterpiece and they wanted to sell it off for cash, to do whatever they wanted to do with it, and to not hang it on the walls and on the mountains and along the shorelines of this wonderful nation of Israel, the promised land. And this is what we do, okay? It's not just what Israel did, it's what we do when we love what God gives more than God himself. It's a tricky thing. God blesses us so much and we fall in love with the blessing and we forget about God. It's terrible. We fall in love with what God can give and we ignore God himself. But listen, God allowed Israel to be scattered. To answer my question from earlier, he allowed Israel to be scattered that they might find him. They had him. They didn't care about him. They brought them into the promised land and that wasn't enough, okay? As long as they were going somewhere with God, as long as they were going through the Red Sea and going through the wilderness and fighting great battles, they liked having God with them. But then once they were there and established, it was awkward. They had no love relationship with God, and so they, you know, they moved on. So God scattered them that they might find him. Listen, if you've been scattered, and some of you are scattered today, I know you're here in the building, and I praise the Lord for that. If you've been scattered, or if you're scattered today, it's not because of clouds and thick darkness, okay? It's not. If you've backslidden, if you're far away from the Lord, it's not because great clouds and thick darkness have come in and taken him from you. It's because you don't yet know God, okay? If God is your shepherd, he's a good shepherd, and he doesn't lose anybody. And nobody gets scattered, and nobody gets taken from his hand. So if you know the Lord today, if you know him in this way, which he's about to describe for Israel, then you're going to be blessed in that way. Praise the Lord. So don't find your security in what is provided by God, but find your security in the one who provides it, in the person of the Lord. Second thing I want you to see here is that blessing is not milk and honey, but love for the law. Look at verses 13 and 14. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the ravines, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture. And on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. Listen, I've been to Israel a couple of times and read a lot about it. Israel is not the nicest land in all the world. It's not. There's richer soil in Egypt. You can grow better grapes in the south of France. Cattle get a lot fatter on the plains and prairies of northern Europe. And there's a lot more water nearly everywhere. The Kachiko River right downtown is 10 times stronger than the Jordan. Okay, it's not the nicest land, but God brings his sheep back to Canaan. Why? Because that land is home. What makes that land precious and powerful and nutritive and sustaining is the presence of God there. What makes Israel rich is its order. It's an ordered land. It's the law, okay? What you need to fall in love with as a Christian is not the milk and honey, but the order that the Word of God provides for your life, okay? You've got to fall in love with the law, as David liked to sing about. What makes a good home for a child? This is a good question for the country. It's a good question for all of us, especially who have kids or grandkids. Is it a closet full of clothes? That's a good thing, but not necessarily. Is it a pantry full of food? Is it toys and technology? Is it all kinds of wonderful blessings? Is it having a real nice, beautiful tree to climb? I don't know, okay? These are all wonderful, wonderful things that you can provide to a child. But what a kid needs more than all of these things, all of these material blessings, is order. Okay? A child needs order. If you can instill within a child a love for what is right and a hatred for what is wrong, if you in your home as a parent can value integrity, reward industry, and spur creativity, if you can discipline injustice and reprove with reason, you will see your home produce wonderful, powerful, productive people, okay? If you think of your home or think of your children as a quiver, as the Bible uses that illustration, and the children arrows, that type of home where there's order, where there's a love for the Word of God and for the law, those arrows will have shafts that are straight. The fletching on it will be sure to create perfect flight, and those tips will be sharp, able to pierce everywhere that they go. Listen, I know some of you want the milk and the honey in the wilderness. You want God to provide to you all the blessings of a rich life in Christ wherever you are. That's not how it works. If he's not going to bless his people in Egypt, and he's not going to bless his people in Babylon, he's not going to bless his people in Persia, and he wasn't going to bless his people all over Europe. Where he wanted to bless his people was home. He wanted to bring them home to those mountains, beside those rivers, to that little lake along the shores of the Mediterranean, and in that place where he has built his temple, where he has identified himself and shared of himself with his people, it's there that he wants to raise his people, okay? You have got to fall in love with the law of God, with the way of God, with the order of God, with the worldview of the Bible if you want to know vitality, if you want to know peace and fulfillment, okay? You've got to come home. You've got to come home. The final thing I wanted you to see in this passage is that death is not in fire and brimstone, but it's in allegiance to Babylon. This is a wonderful, you know, as Tom was reading this passage, I was thinking about what Linda shared, and it's absolutely true, okay? Listen, I love being a part of a church. I love being a pastor, and I love being used of God to bless people. But listen, I can't do the things, and no church can do, no priest can do the things that God is saying he's going to do here. If you read the first part of this chapter, go home and read it. He's railing against the priests, okay? The beginning of this chapter, he's very frustrated with the leadership in Israel because they've dropped the ball. They're not doing their job. The whole religious infrastructure and religious industrial complex within Israel, with the king on down, the whole thing had really abandoned the people, and it was corrupt, and God was angry. And so he said, you know what? He fires all these priests, essentially, and he fires everybody in religious leadership, and he says, I'm going to take care of it myself. Okay? Of course, it was going to happen. They set it up for themselves. But as you look at these verses 15 and 16, just understand what the Lord's trying to communicate to you today, what he wants to accomplish himself. He says, I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. On the signboard this week, I wrote out there, to give up is to root for Goliath, okay? The world is a buyer of souls. The world wants to buy your soul, and it pays out pretty well. It pays out in comfort, wealth, and it does give you a seat at the feast table. There's a great feast here going on in the world, and if you give in, if you sell your soul to the world, it's going to give you a seat at that table. But it takes from you your humanity, your nobility, and your integrity. Goliath wants you to give up, okay? He taunts you. He sees your earnestness as a believer, and he taunts you for it. He tries to erode your confidence by making fun of you, by laughing at you, and your desire to be righteous. He threatens you for your pursuit of God. He threatens you with your life, with your vitality, with your comfort, and everything else. To give in, if you give in to Goliath, he'll slap you on the back, he'll let you cross the line, and he'll give you a piece of the pie. But if you give in to Goliath, you're a Philistine. Okay? If you give in to Goliath, you're a Philistine. David was not going to give up, and he was not going to give in to Goliath. He wanted to fight, even though it looked impossible. Why? Because he wanted to aspire for something greater. He wanted to aspire to honor the Lord and to see righteousness reign in the land. He aspired. If you are feeling today apathetic, you want to give up, you've kind of plateaued in your faith, and you're just going to hold on to your chips and wait to cash them in when Christ returns, you are rooting for Goliath to win in your home. You're rooting for Goliath to win downtown. You're rooting for Goliath to win in our schools. You're rooting for Goliath to win in the halls of our government. You're rooting for Goliath to win in the world. George Orwell said, the quickest way to end a war is to lose. Okay? If you want a war to be over, you go ahead and lose right now. It's over. That's the deal the world wants to give you today. If you want this great conflict and struggle you're in with sin and with righteousness and with the law and all the craziness going on in the world, just lose. Go ahead. Give in. It'll all be over today. But that's not the role of the Christian. That's not what God is calling us to. He's calling us to seek him to win, to be victorious. Listen, the world is falling away, okay? The fire and brimstone is not what you should fear. If you want to, you know, and that's how the world's going to end. Don't fear the fire and brimstone. Fear giving in to Goliath. When he says here that he's going to destroy the fat and the strong, what he's saying there, I won't explain it fully, but what he's saying there is that's symbol, that's type for somebody who has made a deal with the world, okay? who has decided to opt for comfort, peace, and security in this place and has forsaken the next place, forsaken the Lord, forsaken righteousness, and forsaken heaven. I don't want to do that. Take the offer that God is offering today. He's offered us in many ways today, through song, through testimony, through prayer, through opportunity. You've heard it many times today. I can't command you. I can't. I can urge you. I can beg you. Take the offer the Lord is giving you today to be your shepherd. Okay? Take it. Quit focusing on the preservation of your things, the preservation of your comforts, the preservation of your life. Push through and seek something grander, larger, greater, which is salvation, which is fellowship with God, which is friendship. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for this word from a long time ago. We're your people. We're every bit your people that Israel was your people. And we're every bit as troubled. We're every bit as conflicted. So Lord, I pray for myself, for my home. I pray for my children. I pray, Lord, for this congregation. I pray for every home and heart that's represented here. I pray for our town. I pray for the church community here that's representing you in this time and in this place. Lord, would you please, where people have been scattered, would you seek them out today and show them that, as so many of us have some kind of record of a relationship with you a long time ago. Lord, if you've allowed us to be scattered, may it be that we no longer look for salvation in an institution, salvation in an earthly relationship, salvation in a creed or a doctrine, but rather, Lord, that we'd find salvation in you today, that we would seek you and find you. Lord, would you please bind up everybody who's injured and put on your shoulders all those who are stranded and who are beleaguered. Draw them back unto yourself today. And may the relationship that we have and enjoy with you, may that be the testimony. May that be the word that compels the world around to give up on the deal that Babylon wants to make and to seek Jerusalem, to seek relationship with you, to seek the new kingdom, to seek eternity. Thank you, Lord, for your Spirit's presence in our meeting here today. And may you yourself accomplish in all of us what it is that you have promised in this passage. In Jesus' name, amen.